Right, so we will continue looking at the subject of the Holy Spirit. And today, a question: who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Let me just say that I will refer to several Bible passages this morning. And something I do that has helped me over the years, even though we have the sermon on the website, but if ever possible for you to do this, to just write, take notes each time you listen to someone preach, especially myself. Yeah, it helps me. It has helped me over the years because God gives me inspiration, sometimes even beyond what the speaker is talking about. And I get to make note of whatever God has spoken to me and jot down the Bible passages and go home like the Bereans did and refer back and study and kind of check them out. It helps me also during my personal times to look back on what I put down or the things I jotted down when someone speaks. So I'll be referring us to several scriptures this morning. I know you may have picked up the fact that I am someone of the world and the spirit. I am so passionate about talking about the Holy Spirit. Because of my journey as a Christian, the experience I've had, and I look forward to having every day. Each time I pray that the Spirit of God will have His way in my life. I know that the subject of the Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood one in the church today. And indeed, it could be divisive. A lot of questions. Churches believe what they believe about the subject of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. People believe differently, even in the same church, about who the Holy Spirit is, what He does, and manifestations, and you know the list. I don't want to go there. But yet again, I still pray every day that the Holy Spirit will be part of my life, part of my journey. In fact, from the very beginning of the Bible, even before creation, we hear and we see and we read the Spirit of God doing His work. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, He says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering," quoting from NKJ, "over the face of the waters." You see, so even before everything began, we read and we see the Holy Spirit in action. And also, in the final verses of the Bible, in Revelation, the Bible closes with the Holy Spirit inviting humanity to come to Jesus. And I will mention this as we go on. Everything the Spirit of God does is to point us to Jesus Christ. And you go to Revelation 22, verse 17. It says, Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." The Holy Spirit inviting all humanity and pointing us to Jesus Christ. And of course, we read when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and indeed to all of us in 1:8, Acts 1:8, like we read the other time, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And so with that, I say that whenever the Holy Spirit comes, mighty things happen. When the Holy Spirit comes, mountains move. Like we read from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, mountains move. When the Holy Spirit becomes real to someone, revelation of the scriptures come along. When you encounter in a fresh way the mighty move of the Holy Spirit, you go back to the scriptures and it becomes easier for you to understand. It's like he's always standing beside you when you read the Bible. It is the only time that the author of a book is close to you each time you read his or her book. Well, you read books about people, written by people, they are thousands of miles away. But the Bible is the only book when you read, the very author of the book himself stands beside you. Like pointing to you to, this is what I meant here. When I wrote this, this is what I meant. When we encounter the Holy Spirit in a personal way, revelations come with it. Indeed, life without the Holy Spirit is empty. When a Christian hasn't encountered the fullness, the manifestation, fresh revelation of the Holy Spirit, it seems empty. But when the Holy Spirit is revealed in a greater way, then richness comes with it. Make no mistakes, any child of God, every child of God has got the Holy Spirit. Because without the Spirit of God, we will indeed not have been converted. All right? So it is the Spirit of God that converts us and brings us to Jesus. That means at a point of salvation, we already are filled with the Holy Spirit. But we need to kind of step up and crave for walking with the Spirit, knowing more about the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll say it in three ways. Number one, talking about who is the Holy Spirit, his position, and also his personality, and then his power. I'll try to do that as we go on today. But before that, I asked myself the question, who is not the Holy Spirit, or what is he not? For you to understand what he is, perhaps to think about what he is not. I hear people today refer to the Spirit of God as an it, you know, when they refer in yes, I have. I was listening to someone say or give a talk the other day, and they were saying things like, when it comes, you will, when it comes. I sort of felt like, no, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not who he is. But anyway, I like to say that the Holy Spirit is powerful, but he is not a power. I always say this. The Holy Spirit is influential, but he is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is described as all those symbols like a dove, but he is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is a person, I believe. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. So who he is? Who is he? The Holy Spirit is God. Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. I would like us to read what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. We know the story, right? And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it. and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, listen to this. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not your own, in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? And listen to this. You have not lied to men, but to God. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. The Holy Spirit is God himself. When they lied to the Holy Spirit in verse 3, they indeed lied to God in verse 4. One and the same person. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Indeed, the Holy Spirit created all things. And then, let's talk about his person. In some languages, things are either masculine or feminine or neuter, especially in the language of my birth. But in John chapter 5, referring to the Holy Spirit, Jesus used a masculine gender. And that suggests to me that the Holy Spirit is a person. John chapter 14, 16 and 17. Yes, I've got it here. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Can we read together, please? I'd like to involve us. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Yes, Jesus refused to use the neuter gender for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, in 17, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. So the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. Again, going further, the Holy Spirit also possesses the attributes of a person. All right? The Holy Spirit possesses the attributes of a person. In Romans 15, verse 30, we read this. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit. It's a person that loves. An inanimate thing doesn't love. So, through the love of the Spirit, that you strive with me in prayers to God for me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, I don't have it here, and that's why I said probably make a note in your mind about it, or listen back on the website. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, we see that the Holy Spirit has intelligence. Say with me, intelligence. Intelligence. Just to make sure you're listening to me. He knows and he searches all things. Can someone read that for us? If you got it on your Bible, please. 1 Corinthians 2:10. Yes. The Spirit searches all things. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, he was saying. And then saying the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So he's like, he has deep intelligence searching all things. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals the hearts of people to others. We cannot hide from him. In Romans 8:27, we also, you know, figure out that the Holy Spirit has got a mind. Romans 8:27 says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And like I mentioned, if you flow in a deeper revelation of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures become easier for you. I don't know about you. When I became a Christian, nearly sometimes when I try to pray, I'll slip off. How I grew up thinking that the only way or posture that you will use will just to kneel. Right? That was the time I thought if you had to kneel down before you're heard, before your prayers are heard. So each time I knelt down to pray, I'll find myself several hours after, and I'll be thinking, what was I saying? I just doze off. But I tell you, when I began to crave to move in the Spirit and to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in my life, things changed. It changed. I didn't sleep anymore. Yes. And in those days, we had all night vigils. We will start praying around probably 9 p.m. and then we'll pray all through the night. We'd had that once a month in that church until 6 o'clock in the morning. Everyone will come to the church and there will be music and there will be prayer all through the night from 9 p.m. Don't ask me what they were doing, the kind of prayers, but it was prayers and prayers all through. And sometimes you see maybe the weaker ones going somewhere to just sleep, to catch some sleep. And I used to kind of joke with a friend of mine, "Are you sleeping?" "No, I'm not sleeping, I'm meditating," he would say. "No, I'm meditating." And so on one occasion I asked him, what were you meditating again? He said, "What did you say?" "All right, you were sleeping." But anyway, when someone is kind of zealous and in tune with the Holy Spirit, you find it very difficult to fall asleep when someone is preaching or it's different for everyone anyway. But the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He is the one that makes the scriptures become real to us. We cannot read on our own and understand. There is no way. Even if we read in English or we read in the Igbo or whatever language that we read in, it's a spiritual thing. It's not just like reading a novel by someone. It is something that is deeper than the black and white. So we need the empowerment, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be able to understand. Have you ever wondered how is it that someone who is not even a graduate, or if not even, he didn't even attend secondary school, could read the scriptures and preach to professors and bring out revelation, and the Spirit of God will move through him or her? You wonder, where have they read it from? Where have they learned it from? They have learned it through the exposure with the Spirit, through the openness they have with the Holy Spirit, through allowing the Holy Spirit teach you the Bible. So each time we read the Bible, let's ask that the writer of the Bible himself will reveal the pages to us and bring them alive to us and make the Bible real to us. The Holy Spirit can teach. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13. "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." The Holy Spirit teaches. So he can teach. And you remember what we just read, John 14, the helper Jesus promised is the Holy Spirit. He will help us in all things. And also, not just the attributes of a person. Reading through the scriptures, I find that the Holy Spirit also exhibits the actions of a person. Not just the attributes, but the actions of a person. In John 16, verse 13, we read that he guides. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will teach you. He will tell you things to come. So the Spirit of God guides, like a person guides another. The Holy Spirit guides. Each time you are faced between opinions, make out time to ask that the Holy Spirit will guide in this decision, and you will find that he will guide you. Do you have any decision to make about a big move, thousands of miles? Not like Dev or myself, we're just moving how many miles? But there have been people who have moved, like I did in 2016 from Nigeria. Do you think it was an easy decision? It wasn't. I didn't know what I was going to face, what I was going to see, moving from family, from comfort, from what I have known almost all my life, plucking my children from their schools, leaving everything we had, our investments, our money, our family, leaving everything. We had to pray for 2 solid years, asking God to guide us, to lead us. Holy Spirit, you are the one that will teach us what to do. And you find that sometimes when you invite the Holy Spirit in decision making, sometimes you might hear, no, it's not time. Or wait. You might hear, just be open. But when we do this, let's not come to that sort of prayer with our made-up minds, right? Just like saying, this is what I want, God, now bless it. You remember I told you my experience when I was growing up, when I was a young man? I had a sticker on my, you remember now? I had a sticker on my room, God, give me patience, and I want it now. Give me patience, I want it now. I have faced many decision-making situations. What I did, ask him to guide me, to lead me. And I must confess to you, I'm not just someone like in heaven. I have made some mistakes sometimes. Yes, I have to say this openly. There have been some times I ran off, not listening clearly, not carefully weighing what he's saying, but he's gracious. Always gracious, to always say to you, all right, are you tired now? Are you ready to listen to me now? Yeah, I have had such times in my life. But looking back, I will say his love has always led me. He will not allow you, if you invite him to guide you, he will not allow you to suffer any shame. He knows we are feeble. He knows Jesus walked this earth. He knows what it meant and what it means to be in the flesh. So he will be very gracious to us and he will guide us. And the Holy Spirit also convicts people of sin. Like I said, it is the Holy Spirit that no matter how powerful you are, you cannot convert a soul. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, but we are just his instruments. In John 16, verse 8, I don't have it here. In John 16, verse 8, it says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we also know that the Holy Spirit performs miracles. Acts 8, 39 says, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went out on his way rejoicing. And then this one I like so much. You remember Romans chapter 8, verse 26? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He prays through us. It's happened to me several times. sometimes with words that I cannot even explain, sometimes with weeping, sometimes with groanings. And yeah, you know what I mean. The Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings from the New King James, which cannot be altered. There are some times that we probably face with the things here and there. We don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit prays through us, intercedes through us, because he loves us. He loves us so much. And the Holy Spirit directs us. He comforts us. And indeed, he commands us. And so, concluding by bringing out the aspect of his power, and I believe the Holy Spirit is not just passive, he is active. He wants to be involved in everything we do. In John chapter 16, we read that bit there. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then from 13 to 14, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. The Holy Spirit is relevant. He had been, and he still is relevant. He convicts us of sin. He brings us to the kingdom. He doesn't stop there. He walks with us, empowering us, making it possible for us to live out a fruitful Christian life with the power that he had given us. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So we receive the power, and he walks with us. He doesn't stop along the way. The Holy Spirit is active in our life. And like I read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Holy Spirit is the agent of creation. He brings chaos. He turns chaotic situation and brings order, brings straightness in a situation. And it happened to me once in my life when I was faced with confusion here and there. And I went to the mountain, not physical mountain, but I just went away from everything, from family. I needed to just settle this thing with God. And I went into 7 days of fasting and prayer. I'm not sure I can do that these days, but I had the strength to do that on 7 days without food. And I was praying, and I was asking him to move through and to reveal himself. And out of a messed up situation, he brought everything together. Without going into detail, he brought everything together, and everything was straightened. So when things are scattered here and there, even relationships, not afraid to say that when things are not going the way they should go, we play our part, but sometimes there is spiritual warfare to be done. Spiritual warfare. What did I say? Spiritual. Sometimes there are times that we need to just lay aside what we know and seek the Lord in spiritual warfare. I tell you, and we need it. You know, people think that probably, like reading Tom's book, you read what happens in Borneo, in several places. I was sharing on Wednesday to people who in our Bible study of what happened. Let me tell you a little bit. I went to preach in a country called Liberia, in Monrovia, and we set up in an open field to preach the gospel, and they did invites to people to come along. Churches worked together, and while I was sharing the scriptures, a lady there, all of a sudden, began to run towards me very fast. And I became afraid, and the people became afraid. I was thinking, is she going to attack me? I didn't want to be, I mean, she can't overpower me, right? But I want to be sure that she's not harmed. So the ushers came along and we stood her and they held her in one place. And she was shouting, "Leave me alone, leave me alone." And she was pointing to a direction. I mean, reading through Tom's book, sometimes it reminded me of what we experienced in those early days. And she was shouting, "Leave me alone, leave me alone." And as she was shouting, pointing to the air, "Can't you see him?" "We can't see him." Say, and she was mentioning a name and said, "Leave me alone." And she said, "Ask him to leave me alone." So what did we do? I don't know if she was going through anything, but we had to do spiritual warfare the way we understand. So we looked at the direction where she was pointing to, and then we began to pray, "Leave her alone in Jesus' name. Leave her alone in Jesus' name." And then she started saying, "Oh, he's going now. Oh, he's leaving me now. He's leaving me." And all of a sudden, she collapsed and was like dead. Was thinking, what's happened? She just slept off, really slept off on the floor. And then we began to chant, and the people began to pray and jump around and began to shout and praise God. And after 15 minutes or 30 minutes, she came back to life and then looked at me, bland. And then she said, while she was listening, a figure came to her and told her, "Just run away from here. Don't listen to this man speaking. Don't listen to any rubbish he's saying. Just run away from here." And that's what she said. We believed, because she only alone saw and heard that. But you see that the Holy Spirit moves through what we pray and brings order in out of the chaotic situation that she was going through. I have several, stories to tell you of when the Spirit of God had really moved through what we did. So he is the agent of creation. Let me go through this. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit with whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. You are sealed until the day of revelation or redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He can be resisted. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. Our prayer is that as we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God will become alive to us, and Jesus will become real to us, and the Spirit of God will help us to really move and serve him. And also beware in a bid to be open to the Holy Spirit, not to just receive any and anything. Someone can listen to me and say, "Well, he's open to the Spirit," and they bring along whatever they want. I don't want to take much of your time, but I'll give you one more story that happened where I went to preach somewhere, and there was this lady that had a reputation of being in the Spirit and bringing a word. And people respected her in that locality, and also some other people feared her. So I came along wanting to preach on that occasion. And there came this lady running off from the church and was speaking some gibberish and speaking some things. And I looked at her and I watched her. And I did something I have never done, and I don't think I will do again. And I walked up to her, laid my hands on her. I said, "Shut up in Jesus' name." As soon as I said that, she collapsed under the power of the Spirit and began to sleep. And people looked at me, looked at her, looked at me, looked at her. And it was quiet like you are now. It was quiet for some minutes, very quiet. And they were thinking, what has he done? And she rose up, she walked straight to her chair, sat down, and never repeated that episode again in that church. Because it used to happen before then. Each time a preacher would come to speak, she would come up and would be speaking some things and disrupting the service. It happened in Nigeria, not in the UK. And it really happened. My wife, Anita, can still remember that incident. And each time someone wants to speak, she will come up and she'll be speaking some things, and she'll be running from pillar to pillar, and she'll be disrupting. People were thinking she's of the spirit, you know, they were hailing her. But I had that discernment in me. The spirit gave me the discernment. This is not of God. Someone has to stop this. And I prayed in 1 second, what should I do? Spirit of God, lead me. And I just felt the boldness. I couldn't do that ordinarily, all right? I used to be very shy. I have to confess. I couldn't even talk to the ladies when I used to be very shy. But when the Holy Spirit came in upon me in a special way, you hear me today, you say, oh, you think he's... No, I wasn't that way. I was very shy. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of the living God, we welcome you in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you keep doing in this church and all across this community. We pray, oh Lord, that you will open up a new chapter with us, oh Lord, as we move in the Spirit. Empower us fresh once more again to bring your word. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will reveal yourself to us, make your word real to us. Father, we pray that you will lead us, that you will guide us. Help us not to make any decision without your direction. Help us as a church that we will move on, and that we know your word says that the gates of hell cannot stand, cannot prevail. And right now, we claim it by faith in the name of Jesus the Christ. Whatever we do, henceforth, Lord, we invite you, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we decree and we declare according to your word, every power and every influence not in line with your word, we reject, and we reject entirely. We welcome you anew. We welcome you afresh. Move in our lives, Lord, and bring your word to us once more again. Let us have experience with you, Spirit of the living God, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.